I have one question to ask each one of you today, and I want you to think about this. The title of today's sermon is Unexplainable Faith, but I've been troubled this week when working on this, because there's really more than one type of faith that we can see in the story that we're going to talk about today. Last week we started the story of Abraham, and hopefully this week we'll wrap it up in a way that you will understand the faith that Abraham truly did have. You know, last week we talked about this impossible faith to believe in something. And we talked about Abraham leaving home and going to an unknown land. And then the promise that God made to he and Sarah. And along the way, you know, the roadblocks that came up. And talked about trusting in the fact that God would remove those roadblocks. And we really got into Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And if you missed it last week, I encourage you. It really kind of is a first part to this sermon today. So if you want to catch back up, go and listen to it on the website. But Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be in verses 8 through 21 today. And the reason I've struggled this week is because there's this unexplainable faith that we have within us, but there's this also sacrificial faith that we have as well. And I want us to understand Abraham after today's story in a way that we never have before. So what we see here is that, you know, last week we talked about the faith to believe in what seemingly is impossible. And we talked about that carrying over to this week now. But what we realize is that he and Sarah realized that they were making their own decisions when they were to be trusting God. And they found their way to this opportunity. They trusted in themselves to, you know, Sarah gave him Hagar and said, "Here, take Hagar, my handservant, my maidservant, so that you can have a son, because, you know, God's promised you to be the father of many nations." And even in all that, God's like, "No, that's not how I want it done. I want it to come through her." And we see the promises of God as they play out. And they really kind of had to come to terms that God is going to do what God plans to do. And so as we come into today, I want to talk about sacrifice. And how many of us know what sacrifice is? I mean, how many of you know what, let me rephrase that. How many of you know the definition of sacrifice? No one. All right, so I'm going to have to start there and work my way through. With me being a baseball guy, you know, a baseball coach, baseball player, baseball fan in general, I mean, I stayed up last night to watch the Cubs win the National League Series. I'm not a Cubs fan, but I've grown to like them a lot, just because they understand what sacrifice is. And, you know, you talk about sacrifice that it takes to get into professional sports, but then when it comes to baseball, you talk about an actual play. I mean, laying down a bunt so that you can move someone up from first to second base is a sacrifice bunt. You sacrifice your own at bat, yourself, for the greater good of the team. And, you know, and then you get a runner on third, you sacrifice a fly and get a runner home because you hit it deep enough to where they can score. Even though you're out, there's a run that scores. And I got to thinking about that, and I realized that in the stat book, that does not count as an at bat. Because of your sacrifice, it doesn't count against you when it comes to your batting average. It doesn't count against you when it comes to certain aspects of the game, because it's for the greater good of the team. A run was scored. Something beneficial happened because of the sacrifice that you made. But then we talk about sacrifice in general. And what does sacrifice mean? And it really comes down to asking one question, and that is, how much did it cost you? Now, we'll answer that as we go through today, but how much did it cost you is kind of where I want you to really be aware today of what is taking place in this story as we read it. You know, we could stop here and we could just talk about the sacrifice that Christ made, the one that we all know about, the fact that Christ died on a cross for our sins. But I think we need to really dive deeper into this story, and I'm out of time. So you're going to have to sacrifice You're going to have to sacrifice. How about we just do it this way, and then there is no time, right? You'll just have to sacrifice and sit with me for a little longer than, I guess, 2 minutes. So, Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8, we're going to read through verse 16 right now. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place where he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went." Now, here's where I say, that was last week's verse. Here's where I say we're recapping last week's sermon. That's one of the reasons why I didn't actually go on past that verse, because I didn't want to preach it in the scripture and then walk out. Then what? That's why Joe brought me a timer this week. But continue there in verse 9, it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked to a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come before you. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house today, and I pray that you would just move over this service today. Lord, let my words be your words, and Lord, I pray that you would just speak through your word today. We pray this now in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, in some ways that is a recap of last week, but there are characters mentioned as why I did not move forward. It says that Abraham went to a place that God had told him to go, a place that was unknown, a place that was impossible for him to have known what God's full intention was. But then it continues in verse 9, it says, "So by faith he sojourned to the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob." Now we know who Isaac is, because Isaac was the promised son, and Jacob was the grandson. And Abraham had gone and dwelt in this land. He dwelt in tabernacles and temples. He dwelt with those two. But then it continues on and it mentions Sarah. And it mentions in verse 13 something that I think is very key for us to understand as we continue today. I want you to realize verse 13 tells us everything we need to know about this faith that I want to talk about today. Verse 13 is one of the most important verses, I believe, in the story of Abraham, in the telling of the story of Abraham by the writer of Hebrews here. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Why would the writer of Hebrews feel the need to clarify something about how they felt? This goes deeper than just Abraham being obedient and going and having a child with Sarah, leaving a land that he knew and moving forward, and this impossible faith to have a child through a barren woman that God would then promise nations to come through. This is deeper because it describes the faith that Abraham came to know. It describes the fact that Abraham never saw the fulfillment of God's promise while he was on the earth. Now, don't get me wrong. Abraham saw Isaac come. He saw Jacob possibly be born. Abraham did see his seed continue He saw the start of what God was doing. And yes, to him, that was a fulfillment of the promise. But remember the promise that Abraham was made, the covenant that he would be the father of many nations. And why? Because God had remained faithful to him to that point. Abraham knew that no matter whether he were here or not, that the promise would be fulfilled. Now, as we look at that and we continue this morning, I want us to take a look at the rest of Abraham's story. We actually kind of got into Abraham's story a little bit this morning in Sunday school, talking about Melchizedek and the fact. But turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And that's where we're going to focus some of our text this morning. Genesis chapter 22 tells us a little bit about some things. And before I go there, I want to read to you again out of Hebrews 11. Verses 17 to 19 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Now, those are some interesting verses to follow the story of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, there is an interesting fact that the writer of Hebrews did mention that their hope was in a heavenly land. Their hope was in something greater, that they were not travelers on this earth, and we've talked about it here before that we are, you know, I believe it was actually Wednesday night out of 2 Peter, and we talked about it a little bit, that we're travelers in this world. We are not, this is not our home. This is not where we will eventually find ourselves when it's all said and done. And Abraham kind of took that upon himself and realized that this was something much greater than God just asking him to be a traveler in a foreign land. It sounds to me like the writer of Hebrews is saying that eventually they put their hope in a city that was yet to be seen as well. Eventually they put their hope in a land that was heavenly, that was more so than what they could have here on this earth. Now, it does seem to say that Abraham realized the promise of the land, the city, where he was going to end up being. He also realized the promise of a son. But what we do see here as we get to Genesis chapter 22, what we really need to understand is that Sarah had given him Hagar to fulfill this promise of a son, and God said no. God sent Hagar away with Ishmael so that God could do what he had set out to do, and that is deliver a son through Sarah to Abraham, and that they would have a son that was done the way God wanted it to be done. God had promised this son, and now we see all of this taking place, and that happens in Genesis. You start to see this story where Isaac is born in Genesis 21. Hagar is then cast out because she became jealous of Isaac, because her son was not the son that was promised by God. But see, Hagar didn't understand that that's what happens when God makes a promise and then you try to fulfill it in your own desires and in your own way and in your own situation. How many of us today go through that within ourselves? How many of us today have given ourselves the opportunity to give into something and we've tried to fulfill God's plans without God? Now, we feel like God's led us to do something. We feel like God's led us to be here or in this building today. You know, he's led me to be the pastor at this church, but what if I took it into my own hands and then tried to become something that I'm not, tried to fulfill a plan that God didn't necessarily have planned, or it wasn't his time? And we talked about his timing last week. But as we get into it this week, I want us to see this, that we need to understand that the sacrificial part is not what we see when I first read this. And we'll discuss that. You know, the fact that getting the son was not the sacrifice that God had called Abraham to. But God's call to Abraham became sacrifice in Genesis chapter 22. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave to the wood of the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood off the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here I am, son. He said, behold the fire of the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. There's two types of faith we see in those verses. Those eight verses can really give us more insight into Abraham than anything else that we see. There's six or seven chapters of Abraham's story leading up to this point. And here we are, and we see eight verses that were about to change Abraham's life. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there for you. For us to understand sacrifice, we need to understand what is happening here. Now, many of us are familiar with the story, but we may not realize exactly what just took place. Hagar was cast out with Ishmael. Ishmael is no longer Abraham's son. He's been cast out. Now, God promised that he would protect them, but Ishmael is not Abraham's son. He's not the son of promise. So Isaac is now Abraham's only son. A son God had promised, a son that God had finally brought, a son that he had fulfilled. Now remember, Sarah was, 90 years old when she had Isaac? And now you're looking at a teenage boy, probably 10 to 12 years old. And now Sarah's over 100. Do you really think she could have another child? And yet God is now asking Abraham to get up, to take this son of promise and to burn him as a sacrifice for an offering. Now, understand with me here. I find a lot of things interesting about what takes place in these verses. One, Abraham asked no questions. Now, we've talked about that over the last few weeks, how all of these stories of faith, they got up and they went. But I'm going to say, Lamar, if you were asked to sacrifice one of your children, how difficult would that be? You know, Joe, any of you, if you have a child and you're asked to sacrifice that child, now it's your only child. Let's put it that way. It's your only child. You have one child and you're asked to sacrifice the one thing that you love probably the most in this world because it's part of who you are. Abraham asked no question. He got up, he readied the donkey, he loaded up, and he went. Now, let me talk about this faith just a bit, because now Abraham is succumbing to this sacrificial faith that I'm talking about. Abraham is being asked to follow God to a mountain that God will later reveal, again, a land that he does not know, and to sacrifice the one son he has left. The one son that means everything in this world to him. The one son through whom God's promise was to come. Are we willing to give up the one thing we love the most? I'm going to ask these questions. We'll come back to them later. But are we willing to give up the one thing that we love the most? And are we willing to give up what we feel God has given us as a promise? And are we willing to fully let go of everything and trust? Those are three questions we need to ask ourselves today for us to fully understand where Abraham is. Abraham had already left everything behind once and moved. Abraham had left family, he had left land, he had left riches, he had left everything that was his and taken just what he could and moved to a land of promise. Moved to a land that he had yet to come to. He had already given up one son because of the circumstances where he had fulfilled a promise that was not fulfillment of the promise. And he'd already had to give up Ishmael. Now God's saying, please give up Isaac. And he's going back to square one, where he's being asked to give up a son who was the promise of God. Abraham had this sacrificial faith to realize he could give up those things because God had a plan in the future. God had a plan for something bigger. And if you don't believe that Abraham believed that, just read what I did this morning, verse 14 in Hebrews 11. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Hear me for a moment and let me help you understand something. We are travelers in this land. Abraham was a traveler in the land that he was. And I'm going to go back to that scripture that I used the other night when we were here. If I can find it here, it says, dearly beloved, it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Abraham had given up on this world because God had called him to something much greater. He had promised him to be the father of many nations. And Abraham had seen God do things over and over again. So when God called Abraham to give up the one thing that he was promised, Abraham was willing to give it up. And why? Because Abraham knew that there would be an opportunity for a bigger blessing somewhere on the other side. He just didn't understand why. But could you imagine the love that Abraham had to pour into this situation to see God move? What would have happened if Abraham had said no? I mean, I'm glad he didn't, because we get to see the example of where he wants it to go and what God's plan was. But I think we already know the answer. How many times have we said no to God? How many times have we told God no, we won't do it? How many times have we failed to answer like Abraham answered and say, here I am? Abraham, when awoke by God and God wanted to talk to him about this situation, he said, here I am. God told him what to do. He got up the next morning and he did it. That kind of faith is a sacrificial faith, knowing that you're giving up something that maybe the world can't explain. You see how those two work together now? You see that sacrificial faith and that unexplainable faith go together? Because it's not our unexplainable faith. We can't explain it because sometimes we don't have the words to do so. Abraham couldn't tell Sarah what he was doing. Abraham couldn't tell Sarah where he was going. Sarah would have stopped him. That was her son too. Abraham got up and he went. And the way that this all plays out, the way that we see, Abraham knew that God would fulfill a promise. He just didn't know how. He didn't understand, you know, and I wonder what was going through Abraham's mind. I wonder what Abraham was struggling with at that moment, because did Abraham think that there was another son to come? Did he think that, well, God's done this once now, he would do it again? Did he think, well, maybe I messed up with Isaac, so he's going to, you know, start over? What was going through Abraham's mind? But Abraham was taking a chance on his own wife not even loving him anymore. Because had he come back without a son, how do you explain that one? Well, God told me to take him up and burn him, and so we're childless again. I mean, I don't think that would have gone over very well. But Abraham knew that it was God speaking to him. We need to know when it's the voice of God speaking to us today. We need to be able to discern that voice speaking within us. We need to know that it's God calling us to do things. But sometimes we still have to go. Even if it's unknown. And let God correct the path. As long as our faith is in him, he will. That's what we talked about last week. But as you see here, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "Father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." Abraham knew that God would do one of two things. There was no third option for Abraham in this. Now, many of us are sitting here today going, "Well, what was the third option?" Maybe it was maybe he doesn't do it. Maybe that, you know, we walk away from it. We realize that this is just something that was too great for us to bear. Whatever the case might be. But Abraham had faith that God would provide and not take away the promise that he had already made to him. And he, in his own mind, really only thought of two outcomes. I fully believe that Abraham thought there were two outcomes that were going to come out of this. And we need to understand the faith that Abraham had to go through with this plan so that we can understand the faith we need to have to go through with God's plans in our lives. Number one, Abraham thought that either God would raise him from the dead and he needed to be sacrificed. Now, this could have come from a situation, you know, where if he dies and then he's raised again from the dead, he won't die again. That this will be his, you know, this resurrection story. Maybe Abraham's thinking through, you know, God needs him to die and be resurrected so that he can be that perfect, blameless gift that he promised me. The father of many nations, whatever. I'm not sure that that was going through his head. The other was that God would provide another sacrifice. But Abraham was faithful to know that God was providing a sacrifice. Whether it was his son or something else, there would be a sacrifice made. And God would keep his promise as well. He had already moved him. He had already trusted him this far. I think at this point, Abraham was saying, well, God did promise a son through Sarah. And he's here. So there has to be something to this. I've got to follow through. Because God doesn't just move in my life. And then me, the next time God asks me to move, turn around and go, well, God, you've already given me so much. Why did God test Abraham? I think it was to see if he was willing to be able to follow through on all of God's plan. Because just as you saw in Hebrews, Abraham did not see all of this come to fruition. Abraham only had faith that he would be the father of many nations. That had to come generations down the line. It came through Isaac and then through Jacob and then through his sons, through Joseph. And you see it come down that line. All of a sudden, you know, Isaac had what, 12, or Jacob has 12 sons. They become the 12 tribes of Judah. The 12 tribes of Israel. You know, we saw that Jacob was renamed to Israel. You see that story play out. And as you go through, you realize that that is all still part of Abraham's story of faith. A story of sacrificial faith, willing to give up everything that God had given him to see what was better on the other side. Abraham was willing to give up Isaac. He was willing to give up the one promise that God had made that he had fulfilled. He was willing to do that because he knew that whatever God had planned in the future had to be greater than what he had at that moment. Even though it was a gift of God. How many of us today feel like maybe we have a job or we have a family that's a gift of God, but are you willing to walk away from God's gift if God calls you to something bigger? Are you willing to sacrifice those things to move forward with God? He's not going to call you to walk away from your marriage in such a way that you're going to walk away from it if both of you are following God, he's going to call you to go together. Look at Abraham and Sarah. They went together through this journey. I'm saying, though, he might call you to something greater, and it takes both of you to be on the same page. Now, if there's an unequally yoked situation, that's a whole other sermon. We won't talk about that. We can get into it one day. But right now, I want you to see that God called Abraham with Sarah to go forward. And then he gives him a child. And then he calls him to sacrifice this child and to give up everything just to see if he's willing to start over from scratch and trust God to do the right thing. This is a test that we faced almost every single day. A test that I know I go through each day. A test that I know each one of you probably goes through. Are you willing to give something up for the greater good of God's kingdom? And it can come in many different forms. It could come in that high school relationship where you feel that you and that person are so much in love that there's nothing that could tear you apart. But what if there is? What if it's not God's plan? What if, you know, there's so many what ifs. It could be in that job that's paying you six numbers a year, you know, $100,000, $200,000. You know, it could be in that car that you've worked your entire life. It could be in your money. It could be in your children. It could be in your life in general. Romans 10, 1 and 2. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Sometimes we have to pass the test. Sometimes we have to pass this test of what are we willing to give up? What are we willing to give into? And what are we willing to do to see God's blessing on the other side? For Abraham, he gave it all up. A substitute offering was given. If you go and continue through the story of Abraham here in chapter 22, there was a substitute offering. Abraham was right that God would provide. But it took to this point. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar. There he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am, or here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham followed through to the point where God stopped him from the sacrifice because God knew Abraham was that willing to follow. Folks, the test that you face today to give something up may simply be that, just a test. But are you willing to let go? Now I want you to see what happened in Abraham's story. Abraham was willing to let go of the one promise God had given because he knew that God had something greater. And God not only stopped him, but told him he realized that he was willing to do what needed to be done. He told him he realized that he was willing to give up his own son as a sacrifice for God. And in that, God blessed him, not only to see that he saw Abraham as faithful, but he allowed him to keep his son. Now, Abraham didn't have to actually follow through on sacrificing Isaac. It was just the simple fact that Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac that God rejoiced in. God understood it. He enjoyed the fact that Abraham was willing to go to that extreme. It may be that you feel like God's calling you to give something up. That might be your test. It may be that he's not really asking you to give it all up, but would you be willing to when it comes down to it? Not knowing the future with that unexplainable faith, with that impossible faith, with everything that you've been dealt in this life, are you willing to give it all up? Are you willing to open up your bank account and say, all right, God, if it's for your purpose here, take it all. Just so God can see that you're faithful. Because he may not take what he's asking you to give. He may just want to see that you're willing to give it. He may just want to see that your heart's in the right place because he has a bigger plan for you. And it doesn't involve you holding anything back. Understand that today. He can't use you if you're holding on to things from your past, if you're holding on to things that you're refusing to let go of, if something is taking the place of God in your life, He can't use you unless you're willing to let it go. You know, why must we pass the test today? It's not necessarily for the test itself. It might be for the blessing. Why must we pass this test today? Because we see that God fulfilled a promise in Abraham. He fulfilled it through Isaac, through Jacob, and through his sons. We see that God was faithful to Abraham. And all he wanted to see was that Abraham was also faithful to God. God needed to know that Abraham would do what he was asked to do, no matter what the sacrifice. And he needs to know that that sacrificial faith is within each one of us today. For us to fulfill the plan that God has for us, for this church, for this community, for this county, for this state, for this country, whatever it might be, God needs to know that we are willing to sacrifice what it takes so that He can be faithful to us. He made the greatest sacrifice of all because He didn't stop the knife to His Son. God allowed His Son to go to a cross. He allowed His Son to die on a cross. He allowed His blood to be shed, so that you and I could be sitting in this building today talking about how great Jesus Christ was for us. God stopped Abraham, but no one stopped God from sacrificing His own Son. God proved Himself to be more than faithful through that, did He not? Did He not prove Himself to be faithful to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? So here we are. I think Abraham is probably the one person who understood to an extent what God's sacrifice was going to be, because he asked Abraham to give up his son. Now, we could put ourselves in that situation and we could say, well, how would I feel if? But Abraham actually had the knife up ready to go, knowing that God had called him to do this, and he was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the extent that he had Isaac bound, laying on an altar, ready to be offered as a sacrifice of blood. And God stopped him and said, all right, now that you've proven yourself faithful, I want to promise you something. And he continued on, and it says, the angel of the Lord called, and this is verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God had made a covenant to Abraham. All God needed to know was Abraham dedicated to the covenant that God had made? Once God found that out, he followed through on the promise and said that Isaac would be the father of those nations through Abraham, that his seed would populate the earth. How beautiful is that to see that God had fulfilled this promise? So now, because of that sacrificial faith of Abraham, the unexplained faith that Abraham showed in front of Isaac led Isaac to believe and follow through on his part of the promise. And it was passed down from generation to generation. I want you to understand this today. Isaac knew that he could trust God because Isaac had just been spared. Isaac knew that he could trust God to lead and guide his life because of Abraham's willingness to give him up for a God who made a promise. Abraham was willing to do some things. There was this unexplained faith that was able to show Isaac that following God is the only path in life. Sometimes we don't have to explain our faith for others to see it. We just simply need to live it out and let it happen. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to give up things and not explain it to anyone, not tell people you're giving them up, but just give them up and go on about your life? following God and seeing where He leads you and seeing what the blessings that are coming for you are. Are you willing to give up your time? Let's go back to those three questions. One, are you willing to give up the things that you love the most? Are you willing to give up your time, your money, your family? Are you willing to give up anything that may need to be removed so that you can fully realize the plan that God has now got in your life? Are you understanding this today? That it may take giving up dreams that you've worked so hard for. It may take giving up that car, that house, everything that you have worked and poured yourself into throughout your entire life. It might take giving that up, moving to a new state, new city. It might take something great. It doesn't mean that you have to go quit your job today. It may mean that you need to apply for another one. It may mean that God is leading you to something. It doesn't mean that you just completely write it all off, or maybe it does. God will discern that within you. He will show you what He needs you to do, and if you will follow Him faithfully, you will be blessed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts with God. There are no ifs, ands, or buts with God. He will simply lay it out for you, tell you what needs to happen, and then it will happen. Are you willing to lay it all on the line, even if what you feel is something that God has already given you? Are you willing to give everything to Him because He already gave it to you? I mean, it's His anyway, right? Are you willing to receive a blessing? You have to have empty hands to receive that blessing. I could do an analogy with you right now, but we're running short on time. But, I mean, reach up into the pew in front of you if you want to. Grab about 3 or 4 of those hymnals. Grab your car keys, your cell phone. Grab those things and then try to pick up your Bible. If your hands are full, you can't pick that up. I mean, go home today and sit down at your coffee table. Sit down, you know, pick up the remote control. Pick up those things that take your time in life. Pick up a photo of a child. Pick up your car keys. Pick up your cell phone. Pick up the things, your wallet. Pick up these things that you are dedicated to within life. Those things that mean a lot to you because of the money that's in them or the picture of who is in the picture, whatever it might be. And then try to pick up the Word of God with your hands full. I promise you, you won't be able to, or at least not easily, because you're trying to fit it in with everything else. Do you realize that full hands mean there's no room for God? I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. I can promise you that. Are you willing to sacrifice today in faith, knowing that our sacrificial faith, going unexplained to others, is exactly the message that person needed to hear today? The fact that you're willing to step out on faith. The fact that our faith is going to influence others one way or another. That our faith today is going to influence someone, whether good or bad.